New Real, Channel 1 Right, and I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 19th of August, 1971. Channel 1 Right, and I'm setting it out, New Real, and I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 19th of August, 1971. Channel 1 Right, Thursday afternoon, and I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 19th of August, 1971. Channel 1 Right, this New Reel. I'm setting up for Miss Chitty this Thursday afternoon.
Don't let me forget, I'm putting this one in here for you later.
Set the salt here, don't let me forget it.
I won't.
I managed to fix Raymond and Frankie a couple of hamburgers piece for dinner. And I was so hot.
You don't do much cooking, do you?
It's the first time I've cooked since I come home out of the hospital.
Well, this will cool you off
right there for you.
Do I hear somebody?
Bring your coffee. Because we didn't bring you one.
Well, I was just about to get on back to the field. I'm glad I waited a minute.
Well,
you're about able to get back out in the field?
I tell you, this grass is about to swamp me. Oh, it's growing. Ooh.
Well, I'll tell you something.
I think he's just woke up.
Yeah, I've been lying down.
I think he has too,
Mitch. Yeah, I was.
He's been sleeping on.
Miss Chitty is hot.
I was hot too.
She decided this was a hot day. She was sitting up in front of her. I want you to look at that apron she's got, guys. It's got a towel on it.
Towel on that side. End of off the hair on here. It was a neighbor's of Rosalie's. She gave a whole lot of aprons. She wears the waist apron. Rosalie wears the bibbed apron. She had them packed up there, so she come across. I don't care these sisters, let her wear them.
Rosalie, she'd rather have the bib aprons.
Yes, and then it comes up,
yeah.
Goes over and
yeah.
Had a strap back then in time. Boy, she can go yonder.
Why don't you like those?
Well, wasn't too lazy and trifling to make them. I don't like them because that thing for, if it don't go clear down to the waist with the strap back there, to the waist back there, hold this piece up here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hangs down. I'd rather have hay than a hole when it comes to that.
Yeah, I understand that. I could use an apron like that. if it was a little heavier cloth out there when I'm working with animals. I sure could.
Hello? Yeah. Shirley. Well, we're doing pretty well.
Beets. Tomatoes.
Oh, that's right. Beets. Uh-huh. That's right. Well, you don't have to have any salt in them.
No, it's a fresh, like you take them and cook them right from the garden. And string beans, I've got two cans of beans from the diet beans, you know, just about that high. And they are the toughest things. We bought several before. I told Rosalind when she was down here last time, I said, these beans ain't gone. She says, why? I said, well, they're so tough. And they'd pack them around, you know, and stick them around and cook them, keep cooking. They're still tough. Just like you had taken bulk or gathered out of your garden. Peas, you know, that's too old for snaps and not young enough to shell. I mean, not old enough to shell, but too old for snaps.
I see, just in between. Now you'll have some air. You can
already sitting
feel
there right in front of that fan I had, and boy, I using paper napkins, you know, on the rollers. I'll get them good and wet, and I'll go and throw them in the fireplace in the garbage can.
What's that?
She's talking about just sitting in front of the fan and mopping her face.
Oh, yeah.
She says this is the hottest day we've had.
Yeah, this is more like hay weather, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And I mean, it's a hot day.
Hey, did you say the moon was going to, we're going to have a new moon tomorrow?
Yes, and I hope we have a little bit of change in the coolness too. Not cold weather, but cool.
No, not this early.
I can't stand too much cold, and I'm beginning to think I ain't gonna stand too much heat.
Gotta be just right.
I'm wondering if the Lord is tempting me, trying me out. See how much heat I can stand.
Could be.
And in winter time, he never about freezes me out, but I managed to put on enough to keep warm and stick in the fireplace.
Well, now, how do you manage to keep warm? Let me tell you, Miss Jenny, when I first came out here, all we had over there was that little grate, that little open heater, except it was an old rusted out one. And we leave the door open all winter. And now it's got so I have to seal up the windows, and I've got this old kerosene heater, and that's a good deal warmer, you know, than the little gas heater. And I'm colder than I was then.
And I'm scared to death of a gas or an oil heater, either one.
Oh, you are?
And
yeah.
If I ever get another cook stove, I don't want no gas stove.
Oh, you got gas?
No, so I got electricity. I've used one brand new one up. it's in good, the body of it and all outside. They use a good stove. Nothing wrong with it, but the burner's burnt out. Big old oven. One I got now, it's a small oven, and it's got little cabinets on one side and one down under the oven. So I ain't fussing much if I could just get the oven to work. And I don't want to come fix the burners, so I just have to use my broiler a little bit for just light baking, like, you know, like making toast. Well, that's what that's for, the broilers for the toast. Sometimes I'll go a little further than I think I ought to, turn to the right speed for toasting and broiling, but I have to keep it on so much longer, you see, to bake bread. But I bake cornbread sometimes, too, and I bake biscuits sometimes.
And that's pretty good?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, Faye. You just have to
try. Well, if I'm going over, I burn out my broil on my toaster. When am I going to have toast bread and broil anything?
You know what I think a fellow could do? You don't have to have all that heat. You could just put on a little extra clothes whenever you get chilly.
Yeah, but when you ain't got them extra ones, what you gonna do? You have so many for everyday wearing, you have so many for dress wear, so go ahead, put them all on.
Wrap up in a blanket.
You fall down.
Well, let me see.
I could act as an Indian squaw. No, I ain't got no colored blankets. They're colored, but they ain't striped and checked or anything. And get me a wig. Have a head.
Do you wear wool in the winter?
No, sir.
Well,
I sleep under an electric blanket.
Yeah.
And I'm scared to death of it. I don't sleep good because I don't want to. I wake up and that thing be a blaze.
Yeah.
Oh.
Electrocute you.
But it feels good.
It's good and warm. That so long as my feet and my back's warm, I'm all right. When I can't get that old back warm and them feet warm. You know it's bad when your feet get so cold till you can't stand your own feet to touch you. Oh, Lord, I made my poor old husband jump a minute. When we was first married, my feet were just like ice at night. Oh, summer. Winter, no, but they didn't hurt like they do in the wintertime when they get cold. Just cold natured, you see. One night, I don't know, I think I must have touched him in my sleep. And he liked to jump across the bed. He said, "Hey, God, my Lord, what?" He said, "What was that?" And scared me, and I jumped up again to look at him. I said, "What?" He said, "Something cold, like an old frog crawled up on my foot." He lit the lamp and we looked all around. And I happened to think that my feet, my one foot just happened to turn over enough to touch him, you know, to be cold like a cold frog would be on him. He liked to went out of the bed.
And he got up and got the lamp.
He got up and lit the lamp. I says, "Oh, come on back to bed, Frank." I says, "Well, the thing in the world, but I must have touched your leg in my sleep with my foot." He says, "Great God." He says, "You put something hot and put on them feet." And if I want to aggravate him about anything, come in from work, you know, and sit down. And I'd go, my hands was the same way.
Oh?
I'd go, not good. And then me and him. In and out the house, in and out the house. If he was barefooted, he'd have to run kind of tenderfooted, like, you know. I said, "You better get in and get your shoes on if you're going to catch me." Started out to go one time. I said, "Oh, wait a minute, Frank, wait a minute." He said, "What is it?" I said, "Get your shoes on if you're going to catch me." And we'd have foot race, you know.
You and Miss Frank.
Get out and see which one could get to a certain place first. And long then he could run. And I had to put more pep into my run, and I found out he could run so good. When we were going together, he says, "I'm going to hug and kiss you if it's the last thing I do." I says, "Well, you're going to have to catch me if you do." And I thought he was going to catch me, and I kind of spurred up on the run.
You mean you could beat him?
I beat him running. After we was married, no. We'd run races down to Papa's house. Of course, we'd get through the fence. We had to place it barbed wire, you know. He'd hold the barbed wire up for me to get through. Going down there to get water to drink. That was for Mr. Can't think of his name. Put a pump down there where we was laid. And he'd say something. Some old man that he liked to tease me about. I said, "Well, now, just because I married you, that don't mean I loved another old man or cared for any other old man." And keep on picking. And I dashed off down the path and got in the road going to Papa's. Turned around and looked, he was pretty close behind me. I let him get up, right up even with me, you know. He got in one rut of the road and I got in the other. And we run side by side to, back to the house, and I run up a few feet ahead of him. Papa seen us. He says, "Frank, you didn't think you were going to outrun her."
You were fast.
Now, he would pick on you. Pick at you for that old man,
he won't pick at me about that old man. Yeah. I said, "I ain't never had enough time with that old man." I said, "I don't know whether I know his name or not. Who are you talking about?" Off I dash.
But he wouldn't let you get away with it.
He thought he was going to catch me, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Always ahead of him. He's almost out of breath, but I wouldn't let him know he'd run me so hard. And my bucket had just a tiny little bit of water in it. And he was like, "If I don't turn this bucket over your head," I said, "Come on." And I'd my, "Where'd you pull that water?" And I'd dash it on. And then him used our feet for running about as much as we did walking when we was around the house.
Oh, both of you ran.
He scared me one day that so bad, I actually just stood still. I didn't try to run. He says, "Where's your feet?" I said, "Stick on down in the dirt." I wasn't looking for him to come in from work as early as he did, and I was out there getting in the stores, I believe. And we used big wooden barrels that we'd catch rainwater in.
Yeah.
I'd use that a lot for scrubbing and washing, things like that. And a lot of it, when we clean them out real good and come fresh rain, you know, and we got up and over good, I'd use it for cooking and dishwashing. Because if you boil it, it's sterilized, you see. And I don't know whether I had just got down off of the little platform where he had the barrels sitting up, where the water would run down easy, and then he had a pipe to run down. Seemed like I had stepped down, or was fixing to get up. And he heard me rumbling and rambling around. I might have been singing, I don't know. And he eased around the house, and he jumped around the corner, that way, and rattled his lunch bucket. Boy, I jumped right straight.
Oh, he got you.
And I couldn't. He said, "Where's your feet?" I said, "I looked down, I guess in the dirt." He says, "I got you that time, didn't I?" I says, "And I'm so weak now, I can't get up in and get this water. Get up in and get it for me." He says, "What are you going to do it?" "I'm going to put you in the kitchen, have dish water." The other thing he looked in. He says, "There ain't water enough in here to get out." I said, "I got water out there this morning. You must have been getting a whole lot of it out. It's not about dry." I was looking the other one. He said, "This is about half full." I said, "I'm going to scrub out of that tomorrow." He said, "You won't be this water alone." I said, "Well, I can't let them floors go like that. They got to be scrubbed." He says, "Well, how about taking some from down to your dad's?" I says, "You crazy? Not as much rainwater as he is."
That rainwater, didn't you all ever have any cisterns?
Not down there. We had, excuse me, had two. Yeah, had two up here at our place.
Yeah.
They all done been filled up till now.
Yeah, yeah.
We had one out at the smokehouse. And it was covered over, built up high, you know, on a small top, and then had one on the back kitchen porch.
Yeah.
And I was just as skittish about walking on them boards back there. Here's a big mouth. And it sticks where the water runs down off the L, I think, on the hallway on the back, got all the dining room, and the biggest portion of the kitchen water come down through a big, they had wooden trowels, but they had to, not iron, but metal pipes, like a stove pipe or something like that, down in the, that run down under, then come up under the porch, field into that.
Yeah.
I was scared to death to walk across that.
It was big mouth.
Yes. But the boards on the porch was double this way and this way, and it had a top on it. It had a big square place in there, and had a pitch pump in there.
Oh, yes.
And when that old pitch pump got to where it just, the water was low. Couldn't get no water.
Yeah.
I picked up Uncle Martin, the uncle we come down to stay with. Come up, stay with Ralph. And Uncle Martin, I says, "You know when the water's low in that cistern under the kitchen porch?" He says, "Well, I know the water, the pump don't want to pump." I says, "Well, I've noticed Susan, old colored woman, come over here, you know, a lot of times she'd be cleaning up, helping me clean up. And maybe she'd want me to make her some aprons or something. She'd do a lot of kitchen cleaning up." And she'd get out of here, old pump going. I said, "Uncle Martin, when it goes like it's trying to vomit, there ain't no water in it." And that was all he just sat down and laughed till the tears were. And he had long whiskers, you know, way down there. And his mustache. And had white hair. What he had was white. Had a little patch up here. He'd brush it and comb it. But he was getting pretty bald all around. And his eyes were just as blue as they could be. And he said, "I need to laugh at me." Told Frank at the supper table that night. He says, "Frank?" Says, "Yes." Says, "Yes, sir." He says, "You know when that pump goes And makes a noise and it don't want no water come up out of it. He says, "Aunt Burke can make the noise just like that pump makes. Let's go there and get that water." He says, "Sure might does, Aunt Burke. I never run. He not like that for that." Frankie went to the bathroom and I says, "I ain't gonna tell you the rest. I can warn you." He went to Lacey. He says, "I laughed at that young one today, and every time I think of that pump," I have to laugh. He never did laugh out loud.
Oh, he didn't.
I was just a shake, 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 shake. Oh, then once in a while you'd hear him go, "Hing," something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's curious, isn't it? I'd think they'd laugh big. I'd Mr. Frank laugh?
Yes, sir, he died.
He laughed out right, you could hear him.
And Jim. Jim kind of like a Martin do. After he got older, he didn't laugh out loud. He had a big way of laughing, and it tickled him there, where he slapped his thighs out and went, "Ha, ha, 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 ha." And Frankie, he'd get tickled and he'd laugh.
Yeah.
He tried to hold his laugh in, till he'd go to crying and that bust out in a big laugh.
Oh.
And after the children began to come along, see, we didn't have no children until we come up here, Flemington. And he'd get so tickled sometime that the neighbor's children would come and bring the children in. He'd look at them. And they'd say, "Mr. Frank, so-and-so, so-and-so." You see, Uncle Martin was always called Mr. Chitty.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of people called Frank Mr. Frank and called me Miss Frank.
Oh, really?
And
yeah,
we had our big life show for the kids whenever they come around. And we had one neighbor, Mr. Ben Mixon. He said, two or three times during the week, maybe at night after he'd get through with the day's work. And he'd come up, sit and talk. Some of the kids would say, "Mama, I'm sleepy. I want to go home. I want to go to bed." And of course, we didn't tell him going then to lay down on Uncle Martin's bed. But I said, "You can go in there and lay down across the foot of my bed, and if you want to, somebody will have to come stay with me, Miss Frank. I'm scared staying there." And we'd get to life now, you know, about being afraid to stay. Finally, they'd sit down, they'd go to life, and everybody get to life and telling jokes and things that happened. And them young ones would sit down then. Lean up against the wall. If it wasn't on a chair, they'd lean up against the wall.
First thing you know, they're nodding.
And Frank would get so tickled that he couldn't hold it in any longer, and he'd sit there and laugh. Mr. Mixon would say, "What's the matter, Mr. Frank? What's the matter?" Frank would point at one of the kids. "Papa, let's go home. I'm sleepy." And Frank could say, "Well, yesterday, well, it looks like you've done a pretty good job sleeping." He said, "Boy, I know how you feel. Gal, I know how you feel about wanting to go home, go to bed, sitting there sleeping and can't." Mr. Mixon, that reminds me when I was a young fella. We'd go this dinner, have company come in, and had to step past my bedtime.
Just couldn't keep the eyes open.
Couldn't keep the eyes open. And couldn't shut him.
Yeah.
Read somebody's face, something scared him. He was scary when he was a boy.
Yeah. You know, children love to be scared a little bit. You know, you don't want to overdo it. It's like these calves. When I go back there, the tractor, something like that, they just make a little circle there, you see, and watch me. And they just wish it would backfire, or I'd run at them, or scare them, or something like that. Mm-hmm. They just waiting for a chance to...
waiting for something to happen. And then dash off.
Oh, yes. Yes. And they can dash.
We got some of that at the house. Don't care too much about dashing when you're scared, when you need scaring.
Yeah.
Trying to eat through the fence, you walk up there and make a noise, you know, and they're back off. Look at you.
Just look at you.
And then you turn to go there right back then. You run up at them again.
You know, I keep these palm sticks, fronds, whatever you call them, coming all the way to the palm sheds. They make a little pad, you know, and you can hit a cow and it'll pop. And you know, mine got so used to that, I use that instead of a stick. If I have a stick, you know, I get put out with them, I'll hit them and I'll hurt them. So I got so I don't even pick up a stick. I just carry them. And I hit them with that, and they'll pop, mm-hmm. and you know, all they'll do is just sort of... just like you're goosing them. Oh, they learn fast. Now, Mr. Mixon lived right there at you.
No, sir. He lived back... Oh, you know who he turned to go in at Willis?
Yes.
He lived up that other road farther up where you turn go up by Lightner's back
yeah.
in there.
Yeah. Well, how'd he come down there? Ride his mule?
No, sir. He chipped that old two horse wagon and come down there.
Oh, just come down and sat a while after supper?
Yes. If he didn't get there before supper and eat supper. That was always my worry. I was freaking and I wouldn't have enough cooked.
Yeah.
That always got on my nerves. If they were coming, I want them to come in time enough to see what I'm going to have to put in the pot. Add a few more names to the pot.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't mind adding the names to the pot if you had a little time to do it in.
Yes, and then a lot of times they come in pretty late while I'd have to go and almost cook extra supper to what I already had cooked. I'd put on a big pot of grits and go out to the smokehouse if we didn't have it in. I'd go out there and cut out a great big old piece of meat and slice it up and
yeah.
fry that. Cook a few more biscuits. And
yeah.
And his... anyway, it was one of his daughters. She always, now she has, I haven't seen her now in quite a while. She may have forgotten about it, but she used to see me and say, you know, Miss Judy, she says, I can remember when we used to go down to your house and you would have a big old pan of biscuits cooked and a great big old bowl of cabbage. And Mr. Frank always made good syrup. And we'd have good syrup and hot biscuits and butter. And boy, she said, I can almost taste them now, and it's been years and years.
How about that? You know, I don't believe anything I've been invented to take the place of syrup. And one thing about making it home, of course, it's good. And it's not, you know, you buy it at the store, it's cut down.
Yes.
Where there ain't much syrup to it, you know, it's mostly cut down.
It's not pure cane syrup.
Oh.
It's honey put in some of it. And some of it's been diluted to make more.
Yes.
And it ain't all pure syrup.
Oh, no. And the price is pure, though.
Now, well, we get some good syrup now that we eat. Martin buys a gallon from a colored fellow that works up there on a job with him sometimes, named George. Somebody, he makes good syrup.
Yeah.
But there ain't no syrup maker outside of Martin. Martin, now he can come cooking there, coming up with his daddy cooking syrup.
Is that right? Well, it's too bad he don't have a little time, ain't it?
It's too bad we don't have a cane patch in the old mill and them kittles cleaned out then. Tractor to pull the mill, because we ain't got no mules, no horses.
Yeah. Oh, that is too
and
bad.
There's people been there that want to buy the mill. Oh.
You know, there's nobody around close to
no
you.
No one to buy them kittles? Nope. They don't want to give you nothing for it.
They don't want to give you nothing for them.
And just kind of keep it, if we could just keep it fixed up where it'd be a kind of a relic and a souvenir, you know.
Yeah.
Antique.
Yeah. That'd be even better if you could make a little syrup in it now and then. Aren't some of those colored people down there towards the feasters? Don't some of them still deal in syrup?
I don't know, so there's some down below us going to Irvin, out to Irvin, some make syrup, some down the road going to Ocala, they make syrup.
Yeah.
But we never have got any from them.
I forget their names.
Now, Uncle Martin, he used to cook syrup, make his syrup, and make other people's syrup, too. And all, after Frank come up and got started with it, he just turned syrup cooking over Frank.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I sometimes think I'd do better here if I just let these cattle go and just make a little syrup. I know the neighbors would like it better. Of course, there's enough cows in the country. If I had some hogs and could cure some good old side meat and have a little syrup, I think I'd have all the company I wanted, Miss Kitty.
I thought I had Martin's. No, I remember not putting it in the little Bible from Martin's daughter-in-law's picture.
Oh, yeah. Well, you
granddaughter-in-law.
Yeah, you don't have it with you.
And other half of toothpastes. I just a little bit, put them in my mouth. I had little plastic black cups, you know, they give you water in at the hospital to drink out. I had one with my pitcher to drink my water out of. And then I had another cup. But you know, there was something to drink in it.
Yeah.
And I rinsed it out and hid it in my just the drawers at the head of the bed.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'll do with you. I'll take a piece of napkin, you know, and bring that in. I'll take a little piece of napkin, and I'll stick it down in and stick it back in when nobody knew I had nothing now.
Yeah. You know, I never used snuff. I've used tobacco in every other form. In the summertime, I used to work at the tobacco barn. And that's when they packed it, you see. And in the hot weather, you know, the niggers did most of the work. And I'm telling you, you put nigger sweat along with tobacco sweat. Why, we'd knock off at dinner and sit on one of them books of the backer and eat up there. And when we got through, we'd take an old leaf of green dark cured tobacco and roll it up and smoke it. And you know, I never have had this, been sick from tobacco. My stomach has never turned from tobacco. I don't know what it is. It looked like tobacco was just my, just made for me.
And some people couldn't stand the scent of its burning.
Oh, no. No. They just turned white.
I've seen now the boys, they used to sneak out and get this, what they call rabbit tobacco, you know?
Yeah.
And they'd roll it up and make them corn pipes, corn cob pipes.
Yeah.
Me come in and kind of peek at you.
Yeah.
What have you been into? What have you been eating? What have you been drinking? Nothing. I ain't been eating nothing. Well, what have you been drinking? Been drinking nothing.
Yeah.
Well, what are you so quiet around the mouth and eyes for? And finally, Frank called him one day. No. I asked him, what are you doing with that pipe in your pocket back there? And I go, I said, what have you been smoking in?
Smelly, they is smelly.
Rabbit tobacco, Mama. And I says, well, rabbit tobacco will be regular tobacco after a while if you don't watch it. So Frank called them all out in the field. He'd been working, you know. And they gave them up a whole big pocket full of that dry rabbit tobacco.
Yeah.
Leaves. Yeah, they're sitting down on the shade, resting. And he woke up.
He can smell it.
Smelling. He says, what's that burning? Smelling that way, like something burning. And they all got to laughing. And then they take the pipes out and hunt. No, one of them was sitting with his back towards Frank. The rest of them were sitting where they could see. And he got one on which was, where it was Willie Martin, Frankie, and one of them sitting there smoking, you know, his leg crossed over. And just letting the smoke go in, you know. And Frank could walk as light as an Indian.
Oh.
Just as easy walking. Or he could walk heavy. But if he wanted to get up on something, boy, he could put an Indian. Down so easy. And the rest of the boys began to look around, you know.
Yeah.
Take, as they done seen him coming, and they struck their pipe down where the fire wouldn't burn anything. He hid the pipe. And walked up. He says, what are you doing? Whichever one it was, turned around and looked. Daddy, I didn't know you was anywhere around. He said, what are you smoking? And he said, I smell that stuff way down yonder. And they began to look at one. And they said, where's the rest of his pipe? He says, I know you had them because you had them in your hands when you seen me and you hit them. And the one that didn't see him, did you see Daddy coming? He'd have a big glass, and not him tell you boys. Says that's not going to hurt you, but that's going to lead you to the real tobacco. He says, now don't you start smoking real tobacco, cigarettes or pipe tobacco or anything. Yes. Well, a few years, it went long before they were sneaking Daddy's tobacco. He couldn't. Somebody else come along smoking canned tobacco, you know, pipe tobacco, where they could get it and take the paper out. It's one of the things they ain't gonna kill themselves, use that old brown paper bag.
Yeah.
They get out. If anybody come there smoking cigarettes, they seen one drop, just like a bird right down there, they'd tear it off, you know. Back out and put them in and go hide it. I told him that one down to the dressing. I said, you don't know. What you going to catch picking up cigarettes, smoking from behind other people? Mom, we don't put that in our mouth. We just take this smoke. We just take tobacco out. And you don't. I said, I seen you smoking one the other day. The Daily Blue drove down. That's where Daily ever went in service, or any of them ever went in service. I said, I seen you pick it up and smoke. I said, and you know they all have a terrible cough. I said, maybe TB, asthma, or something like that. I want you to quit it. Or if they could get to some of the younger boys, you know, they'd ask them for a cigarette. And a man used to come there, Charlie White, he used to come there, helped Frank around, and he had a cousin live back over on the other side of us over there. He was on his way over there, and the boys would walk down the lane with him if they wasn't busy working. But happened to be busy working, they'd hold a hand that way, you know. Now, your mom said, you stop that now, that's begging. I said, it's not nice, quit it. I said, everything you find out, you all begging and bumming people for tobacco. But when night come, maybe daddy open up a new package of George Washington. He always put it down on the floor at the head of the bed. If he, a lot of times he leaves in his pants, just put his pants off and drop his pants down there. No, poke poor Frankie. Go get us some tobacco, Frankie.
Oh,
the rest of them would
put him up to it.
Push Frankie up to it. He can go get it. And he'd say, well, I never get none of them again. And I steal from Papa. And I see from Daddy, I don't get nothing. He said, you're going to catch me sometime. And he did. He caught him one one night, snitching his tobacco out. Out of his package, but it wasn't in his pants. He happened to leave the tobacco on the dresser up in the corner of the room.
Where was that?
Back in the house before we built
oh,
one
I,
we're living
yeah,
in
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I already know that.
And he says, I thought something was going with my tobacco. He says, put that back there in there. Put it back in there. Well, Frankie had to put it back in. Well, Frank didn't put it in a different place. I didn't know, no, they didn't know. But that was a miserable bunch of boys that night that went to bed without smoke. Somebody if you had to lag around there so long, when you wanted Daddy to catch you. You wanted Daddy to find you.
They let him have it.
And he wouldn't let him have no tobacco. They fussed, quarreled with him. So the next morning, Frank got up, filled his pipe, put good smoke while he's putting his shoes on, but he'd never go in the barn smoking. He always get to the hot cake, he'd knock his pipe out, put the pipe in his pocket. And the old brother. And then Charlie White. The boys are down digging under the eave of the house, get some fish bait right under the eave of the house. They were down there digging bait to go fishing. Charlie, he got the corner of the house and stood there with his leg crossed. And he said, boy, holding the can out, you know. Monroe, or Frankie won. Went up and got a little tobacco out of his Prince Albert came. Finally, Charlie told him that one day. He said, Mr. Frank, he says, why don't you let them boys smoke? He says, they'll take tobacco from you, and they'll take tobacco from me. He says, another thing, says, they'll pick up cigarettes that other people smoke, and you don't know what they've got. He says, yes, I heard Mother ask him the other day about that, picking up cigarettes and smoking. You never know what they've got, what kind of disease. Wait, I'll catch them yet. So, one Sunday, Frankie didn't feel like going to Sunday school. Daddy got ready and went on, started Sunday school and got turned and come back. Frankie thought he was going to have a good smoke. Frank come in the indoor here where he could see right through into the kitchen, a long shed built onto the old house where he lived. He seen that smoke. Frankie.
Tried it out.
And it, you know, Daddy come on. So I thought you were sick, so didn't feel like going to Sunday school. He says, I don't feel good, Daddy. He says, well, you feel good enough to be smoking, don't you? And they, after that, they were all sharp-eyed to see that Daddy was out of sight, so one could take a puff, then take a puff, then take a puff, then take a puff, and by the time it got back around, it was puffed out.
Yeah. They didn't have much to work with.
And I'd shame them about it. I'm going to be sorry of that someday. Going to be sorry of it. It's going to be bad on your health. Mama, you use snuff. I said, yes, but it ain't as bad on me as it's going to be on you all. I said, for I don't swallow the snuff. You all swallow it, smoke and nicotine and
inhale it and everything
else. And I says, and I'm here now and I've been using snuff ever since I can remember. And I used to, first thing in the morning, my mom was in the box. If it wasn't where I could get it, I'd get on and get the hunt. Mama, what got going in my snuff box? Papa would hide it a lot of times from me.
Oh.
But when I'd find it, I have several times found it empty. And I'd go to Mama and say, Mama, Papa pulled all of my snuff out. Said, how do you know Papa poured it out? Because he said if he got it again, he was going to pour it out. Young.
And she wouldn't let you go empty.
And she went, put some more in my box. And then as I got up about, old enough to start the school, I didn't bother with it on in the mornings. I put a little in my mouth. I spit it out, eat my breakfast, and get ready for school. Didn't bother anymore to come in from school.
Oh.
Didn't get with me to school. A lot of girls did, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And teachers would get after them. They didn't get after me. I was smart enough not to care none, and I was smart enough not to get none from them. And I didn't start back using snuff. I reckon it must have been about, that is, more than just a little bit morning, a little bit night. So I must have been about 15, and I hadn't really just up and quit it, but I'd climb on because I'd take a dip, and if I didn't, I'd just go on. The center of it didn't bother me. They got the 400 working in the field, though, hoeing cotton, corn, peanuts, anything like that. I want something in my mouth so bad. I told Mama one night, Mama, I believe I'm going to have to have me some more snow. What? I guess I might get so outdone out there hoeing. But she wouldn't say, well, you can have it if you want. I wouldn't use any more if I, you've done without the song. I wouldn't use it anymore.
She didn't say it.
Well, she didn't tell me I couldn't have it, but she just said, I wouldn't use it anymore. You've done without it this long. But if I found that snuff box and I started to work, brother, I'd packed it in with Joe and I went on to work, and boy, I could work like nobody's business.
Uh-huh.
Paul said, I don't know what's the matter with that person. He said she out-hooled all the rest of them. He said she'd hooled 2 and 3 rows to the rest of them to one. And the rows is clean, too.
Yeah.
Ma didn't say nothing, and she hadn't eyed it. And maybe the next day, I'd be lagging along. I always have my 2 rows hold ahead of the other's one. Well, I'd just give out before I get back. And I'd go to the house, maybe bring some water out. And say, Mama, I just got to have some snow for them. I just can't work if we don't have it. Well, she didn't say, here it is. I'd just go get anything. I'd be looking around. My eyes would find that box. Boy, I'd get out there and it was flash clothes. So I'd catch the rest of them, no water from the well, cool water from the well. I was a water gal and whole hand, too. And then I got there. That's where I'd slip it.
Yeah.
Mama saw a chew in your mouth. And then Mama, I couldn't help it. I just had to have something in my mouth. She said, why don't you start that using it? You're going to have to go to school. Now in a few days, and you'll be in habit of it, so you can't go to school without it.
Yeah.
And I'd keep it hid and find get me a little paper bag, you know, a strong piece of paper. And I'd put my snuff in there. I'd fix it where nobody would know where I had it. If I had an apron on with a pocket in, sweat, as we always said, sweat rag in the other. One got wet around your neck, you know, from sweat, you know, pulso. And tight round deep in somewhere where you'd flag and get
yeah.
Take your dry one out. And I bet by having my little bag of snuff pocket on there, I'd pull my dry rag out. And boy, I'd down, pick it up, put them pockets, go, if you can buy it. But when nobody watching me, they get way down to the end of the row. I don't smell so bad. I look back. I look all around to see if there's anybody watching. I get down there and I can get it up where I can. I lived it back in just a little taste. Seemed like it gave me more them to get to work, you know.
Yeah.
And when I went to spit, I would see if anybody covered it. Oh, I was sneaking.
Yeah.
I was about sneaking with my snuff as Frankie and the boys. I was about stealing the baddest tobacco.
Yeah. Well, now you was about the same age, too. You was at that age where you sort of hid things.
Mm-hmm. 15. Say. And I've had, and you know, they used to make a snuff. They're called Pee La La.
I never heard of that.
A black snuff, and it was damp black, and it had a salty taste to it. Mama used to get them pound jars. And she'd save a jar. She'd put berries and fruit and stuff, what she could cook with sweetening, put in there, you know. She never did try canning peas or beans or anything like that in, but she'd put a, put jelly in them, preserves in them, and she'd have a whole lot of them. So I'd take that, being damp like it was, a moisture, I could take that jar and shake it around, you know. I'd get me a big bowl of that, and I put it in one paper. And all the time, I've been listening, and it's down the pocket you go. Well, and my eyes was wondering, and we used to get snuff in these long plastic. Papa always said it was hog guts, big bladder like. Are you getting me a pound?
Oh, Guy, excuse me, Guy, I know what that is. Excuse me, I left the bar.
They turned the water on and forgot to turn it off.
Yeah.
I did the same thing this morning. I had a water trough down there. I got a hose to it, and I went off doing something else. Time I got thought of it again, it's running over.
Kind of like we all at the house sometimes. We'll water calcium pump with a hose and from the back kitchen. Spigot there, we've got two places back there with water. I forget it, sometimes it'll be a big puddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to want this water you're wasting out here. And so we'd go on with our work, you know, and maybe I'd always help Mom clean up the house, make up the beds, and if I had time, sweep the floors for. And I'd look around, and I couldn't see no snuffbox or any of them there long bladders. Well, she always kept it set. I'd always have my paper ready. I was fine now, got paper ready. No, some of that out in there. Pocket. Went on about my sweeping. Mommy, you want me to wash the dishes before I go? No, I think maybe it's dried off enough out there now. You won't get your feet wet, catch ground, it's going back with you. Down there, dress way down near about to my ankles, you know.
Uh-huh.
Old big bunnies on the tail of it comes around here.
And back with you.
And it's already as white as a sheet, didn't have no color. And a big streak of freckles right across here. We didn't dare go out of that house without a bonnet on. Long sleeves. And have taken old George in its stockings. And bind them up here and top here, you know. Cut holes in the foot that didn't already have it, if you didn't have too many holes in it. And was our gloves. We didn't buy gloves. Well, we'd go out a pair of George and its stockings and we'd take the foot out, you know, cut holes in the toes and cut the top off up here and bind it down where it wouldn't ravel out, lay the other back, and we'd take them pieces that we'd cut off the tops, you know, we'd ravel them up and make balls out of them. Boy, would we have fun on Saturdays and Sundays.
Plan.
And play ball. A lot of times we wasn't close enough to walk to church. And a lot of times it almost